A very special guest today. His name is Will Ron. He's a deputy editor of the Daily Caller. He worked as a political reporter at the D.C., a researcher at MSNBC's Morning Joe, and most recent, probably most important, investigating reports on media matters. Will, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, we had quite an interesting week this week. We have we had the primaries in Alabama. Santorum won. He won Mississippi. He didn't win Hawaii. Mitt Romney won Hawaii by 20 points. Sum up this, if you would, sum up this this presidential or this Republican primary. Where do you think it's going to go? And should Newt Gingrich get out? What do you think here?
Well, I think right now the race is just going to go on and on and on. While there's no clear path for the nomination for Santorum or Newt Gingrich, or certainly not Ron Paul, you know, none of those guys are actually going to win enough primaries to get the nomination. Right now, it's looking like Mitt Romney may not be able to lock this thing up until the convention, which would be huge, and I mean unprecedented. Last time Republicans went to their convention, not sure who the nominee was going to be at the end of the day, is 1976. So it's been a generation since we've had a contest like that. It's a fascinating race right now, and I think we're going to see it go at least until June.
You know, as I watch the race, it appears to me that Rick Santorum is gaining momentum, and it also appears to me, I don't know if this was announced or not, that Newt Gingrich and Governor Perry from Texas have an alliance going. Maybe they have a backroom deal where Governor Perry will be a vice president. I don't know. But do you think, as you look at that Santorum's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger? Do you think that's happening?
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens if Newt does drop out. Again, there's no realistic path to the nomination for him right now.
Right.
You know, he does have the endorsement of Rick Perry, and there was that rumor going around that they had a VP deal, but I'm not sure how much that's actually going to help him. Right now, Santorum's biggest liability is the electability factor. When you look at the swing states, the key states to beating Obama in 2012, it's Mitt Romney that consistently has done the best in those states in polls. Rick Santorum doesn't do very well, and there's a lot of fear among the party bosses, the party strategists, that if Rick Santorum were to be the nomination, then it could be an absolute blowout. You know, you could get something like, you know, the Republican candidate would win 12 states or something. It'd be a redo of 1964 with Barry Goldwater against Lyndon Johnson.
Wow.
They do not want that. So that is a hurdle that Rick Santorum's really going to have to get over if he wants to be, you know, a serious contender and get the nomination.
So if we don't have a nominee going into the convention, will it be a brokered convention, or what does that look like?
You know, this is the interesting question, because we haven't had one since 1976,
right,
and there's been a lot of rule changes since then. It would be a brokered convention. The party is probably going to call it something like a deadlocked convention or contested convention. When you say brokered convention, people imagine like party bosses in smoke-filled rooms,
right,
making decisions, you know, irregardless of the actual votes of Republican voters and conservative activists. So they'll call it something, you know, probably like a deadlocked convention, and it's really going to come down to the state parties and their rules. They have all of the power at a convention. And so you're going to have 50 state parties going to that convention in Tampa, all of which are voting and operating under different sets of rules. It's going to be chaos.
All right. To hopefully avoid that chaos, if you're advising, we'll start with Mitt Romney. If you're advising Mitt Romney, what do you tell him to do to rise above the fray and put this thing away before the convention?
There needs to be some kind of change of pace. First and foremost, I think he's got to figure out how to stop committing so many gaffes. He needs to really tighten his messaging. He goes all over, it seems like every state, every day, he goes to a different place, and he says something that's going to get him into trouble. You know, it's usually innocuous, but, you know, when he was in Michigan, he said, "I love Michigan, the trees are all the right height." He's down south, you know, he starts dropping his G's, he starts saying y'all and talking about how he likes grits. That's pandering. People don't like that. He needs to just stay on message and have, you know, a very, you know, he's the most electable candidate. He is the candidate who knows how to fix the economy. He's got to concentrate on those issues and just emphasize them 100% and not commit these gaffes.
Do you think that the fighting between the or the negative campaigning between the Republican candidates is hurting them? And would they be better served? Would Mitt Romney be better served to start attacking President Obama? And I mean, he's got a, in my view, a horrible record when it comes to the economy, a horrible record when it comes to energy independence. Wouldn't they be better off to start attacking that record as opposed to each other?
I mean, I think Mitt Romney desperately wants to just start concentrating all of his fire on President Obama. But the problem is, every time he does that, every time he goes out there and says, you know, I'm the Republican nominee, pretty much, or at least you know that's going to happen, I'm the inevitable nominee, his opponents keep on coming back, they'll win a state. So he wants to, when he's out there, when he's talking, he wants to be focusing all of his fire on President Obama. But if he's out there, you know, just concentrating on Obama while Santorum and Gingrich are concentrating all their fire on him, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's an interesting problem, isn't it? It's amazing. I guess as I listen to different different pundits, they talk about how attacking each other is a negative thing. But if you look back at the Democratic primary where President Obama, then candidate Obama, and Hillary Clinton went after each other, that actually was a thing that kept him in the press and may have been a positive.
I mean, that's an excellent point, and it really toughened President Obama for the general election.
Right.
But you remember in the 2008 primary, I mean, that was really competition. That Hillary forced Obama to compete for centrist voters, to compete for the, you know, more conservative voters in the Democratic primary. That strengthened him. That got him good for November. You see, in this Republican primary right now, they're all trying to, you know, attack each other from the right. They're all moving steadily farther and farther to the right. And then, of course, once we actually have a nominee, the Republican, you know, nominee will immediately try to switch back to the center and start talking about how they're, you know, essentially a moderate, moderate conservative. So that's where you have the problem. This primary and the decision to have not winner-take-all but proportional states has moved the candidates all farther to the right as they attack each other, and that can be a serious liability when we get to next fall.
Is Romney your winner, or is that who you'd pick as the winner of the Republican nomination?
I think he is still the front runner. I think he's a weak front runner, but he is still the front runner. If I had to bet right now, I would say, yeah, probably Mitt Romney. But at the same time, it's going to take him a long time to actually wrap up this race. And if it goes to a convention and these guys can't work out a deal between themselves, if Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney can't figure out some sort of deal where, you know, Rick Santorum is his vice president or something like
right.
that, then we could have a new candidate emerge at the convention.
All right, we're talking today to Will Ron, deputy editor of the Daily Caller. We're going to move on to Media Matters here in just a second. But before I do that, do you think Newt Gingrich will ever get out of this race?
You know, that's certainly an open question at this point.
Right.
I mean, last week he had his spokesman going out saying, we need to win Alabama and Mississippi if we're going to stay competitive. Last night he lost both states but said he was going to stay in anyway. It's going to be very hard for him to raise money. Nobody can really figure out, you know, how he could possibly be the nominee. Then again, he really doesn't like Mitt Romney, and he's an unpredictable character. So he has some reasons, I think personal reasons, to stay in the race as long as he wants.
All right. All right. Moving on to Media Matters. You're one of the things that you're famous for is your investigation and reporting on Media Matters. For our listeners, tell them who Media Matters is. They're a 501(c), a tax-free organization or a tax-exempt organization. Who they are, what they do, who funds them, and what your investigation was all about.
So Media Matters is basically they're a left-wing advocacy group. They say that they're dedicated to correcting what they call conservative misinformation in the media. And so they go after reporters and stories that they don't like, stories that they do not think are fair to Democrats or have a conservative bias. It was founded by a guy named David Brock. And David Brock is an interesting guy. He started off on the right as a Republican. Well, he was a Republican journalist. He was a conservative journalist, I guess you could say.
Right.
And he got kind of a reputation for smearing people. Anita Hill, back during the Clarence Thomas hearings, he's the guy who came up with the saying, she's a little bit nutty and a little bit slutty.
Wow.
Then during the 90s, yeah. Then during the 90s, at some point, he had a change of heart, and he decided that he is, in fact, a liberal Democrat. He wrote a book called Blinded by the Right, which, you know, attacked all of his old friends and said that, you know, he has now found the light, that, you know, he's a liberal Democrat and he's happy to be one. And he started this group called Media Matters, which he basically, he wanted to take the operations that he had been trying to run on the right, attacking Bill Clinton, and make a left-wing equivalent that would attack right-wing figures and Republican figures.
Now, in fact, they actually had a hit list, if you will, or a list of people they were going to hire investigators, Fox News contributors, Fox News anchors, and others that they were going to try to smear through these investigations. Is that correct?
Yeah. There was an email sent out by one of their officials detailing, you know, kind of a plan of action. Media Matters is a little bit obsessed with Fox, you could say. They've kind of dedicated themselves to taking down Fox. David Brock has said that his organization, Media Matters, is engaged in a guerrilla war of sabotage against Fox News. So they were throwing around ideas, and one of the ideas was, yes, let's hire private investigators. Let's harass these people in their personal lives. Let's try to drive them off the air. And they had a number of tactics, some successful, some not. One of the most successful tactics involved going after advertisers. They take a lot of credit for getting Lou Dobbs off the air. They take a lot of credit for taking Glenn Beck off the air. We don't know how far the private investigators thing actually went, but it's certainly been an effective organization in terms of controlling the media and what people are allowed to talk about.
I find it astonishing. Obviously, Lou Dobbs is now back on the air on Fox Business, and when you talk about, and I forget the name of the guy you just called, he was on the air on Fox News. He had his own show at like 5 o'clock, and now it's Glenn Beck, you mentioned.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck, do you think that he was instrumental in getting him off the air, or was that a decision Glenn Beck had individually?
Well, there was this, I don't know of the internal discussions and what was going on at Fox News at the time, but you did see that over the course of Glenn Beck's program, a lot of advertisers stopped running commercials. And, you know, that really hurts a network's bottom line. If you remember towards the end of Glenn Beck's show and everything, it seemed like all of his ads were for gold, and it's, you know, G. Gordon Liddy selling gold and all of these things.
Right.
And, you know, that's not really where the money is. You know, from a network perspective and everything, they want their shows. They're in the business of selling advertising. They want to sell advertising to car companies. They want to sell their advertising to, you know, Hollywood studios.
Sure.
And those organizations, and Media Matters was a big part of pressuring them out, these organizations took a step back and dropped their advertising on Glenn Beck, and I think that definitely hurt them.
No doubt about it. All right, we're talking today to Will Ron, deputy editor of the Daily Caller. If folks want to read more from the Daily Caller, want to read more about you and your writings, your investigation in Media Matters, where would they go?
DailyCaller.com.
All right, thanks for being with us today. All right, we're coming up